I know what I'm fixing to say is going to sound very simple, and I'm not talking down to anybody, but I'm explaining one of the principles on how this works. Number one, most people underestimate how strong they are and how good their blood flow is and how good their diet is. And does it make sense in order to get an organ to heal? So whatever your problem is, let's just say you have a bad knee and you suffer from horrible arthritis. Well, it's not going to get any better by not moving it. As a matter of fact, it's just about a guarantee that the weaker you become physically, the more problems you're going to have. The whole goal here is to restore function. So any type of activity that increases the flexibility of the knee or that improves blood flow to it, that's your ticket to carrying nutrients, and then you can heal it. Does that make sense? I think somebody was just trying to call, but I couldn't get to the line fast enough. The number here at the station is 903-586-6592. And if nobody calls, I've got an interesting article that I want to share with you. I think it's very good research. Now, I'm trying to think, which year was this done? Oh, 2007. Anyway, who's ever heard of... I want to say that I've read about this in many capacities, but there's a type of tree known as the ginkgo biloba tree. And I'm not trying to make a joke here, but I'm just going to say it this way. There are certain types of, let's just say, living apartment buildings. What else do they go by? Sometimes they'll use the word projects. But it would be a type of a very large living complex that has a lot of floors to it. Let's just say it's a multi-level apartment building, but it's built or constructed in an area where the government can pay for the rent of the people that live there, or something like that. And so the number one type of tree that they plant is called the ginkgo biloba tree because it is the most resistant to pollution and toxins and abuse, which means maybe somebody can, whack the tree with a fence post and try to damage the bark, but it seems to always bounce back. It takes a lot of wear and tear. It's actually one of the oldest trees on the earth, according to botanist or scientist. So the ginkgo biloba tree, it has some very interesting properties to it, but this one you may not have heard of. This might be new information to you, but let me ask you a question. Do you know anyone that just suffers from horrible anxiety? I do. And it's not fun when they go through a panic attack or they have tremendous anxiety that takes over them. You know what it's like to feel really, really good on the inside of your body. And you've probably had circumstances or times where you just feel horrible on the inside. It could be everything from you feel extremely nervous or jittery on the inside. You feel so uncomfortable in your skin, you just can't take it. You're looking for anything that will give you some relief. Well, I want you to listen to this study right here. In the year 2020, I'm sorry, let me start over, 2007, German psychiatrist affiliated with the Klinik für Psychiatrie, I can't say the German. I can't speak German. I'm sorry. I guess if I had Germans come to me every day, eventually I would pick up on their words and start speaking German. That's kind of what I do with Spanish. I didn't take any Spanish classes in high school or college. However, Hispanic people are the best teachers of all time, and they're so good at answering my questions when I ask them, how do you say this or how do you say that in Spanish? Anyway, there was a published study from Germany where they took 107 test subjects that were willing to participate. And the thing of it is, all of these 107 people, these are real human beings, men and women, they all suffered from so much fear, so much anxiety, and just endless amounts of worry that they could no longer function in the world. We're talking about levels here where people are basically disabled. They can no longer function as a living, breathing human being because of such severe fear, anxiety, and worry. Do you know anybody like that? Okay, well, this might be important if you do. Or what if you don't? What if you're not quite at that severe of a level? Well, this information, it still might be beneficial to you. And there's a lot of ways that we could play this, but just kind of hear this out. They took some of the, they added some subjects to the study that suffered from this. They only had severe anxiety when they were under periods of tremendous stress. But there were others, they didn't know any other way of life. This is the way they rolled every day. Even if they, quote, were not under severe stress, they still felt that way. So the psychiatrists, they divided these subjects into three groups. One group received a placebo every day for 4 weeks, and I think this was exactly a 29-day study. That's 4 weeks, basically. Group number two, they took a supplement that contained 240 milligrams of ginkgo biloba. And the third group, they took 480 milligrams of the ginkgo biloba extract daily. And so everybody starts off at the level playing field. They say the researchers used a standardized extract of EGB-761 from Dr. Wilmar Schwab. Anyway, that's what they used, but it's just basically a standardized supplement containing ginkgo biloba. You could look it up for yourself. I think they sell this at almost all the health food stores. Should be very easy to find. So that's what we're talking about, is ginkgo biloba. So here's the results right here. And I realize this is radio. You can't see the graph I'm looking at. I'll kind of describe it to you, but, and I'm trying to, you know, just get you to the point where some of this makes sense. So just before they started the supplementation period, this includes the placebo group, the psychiatrist measured the test subjects' anxiety levels using what's called the Hamilton Anxiety Rating Scale. The higher the score, the greater the anxiety. So if a person scores like 0 to 7, like right now, I don't feel stressed at all. So I'm probably like 7 or below. That means you got no anxiety. There's no fear. According to how you answer the questions on this anxiety scale, mild anxiety would be a score of 8 to 14. Well, what if somebody has a score between 15 and 23? That's pretty significant anxiety. They call that moderate. If the number on the Hamilton Anxiety Rating Scale is more than 23, oh boy, that's severe. And which, just as a side note, when you start getting above 23, that's where there's probably more thoughts of, I can't take this anymore. It's too much. What can I do to stop the pain? I'm not going any further with that conversation, but you know where I'm going with that. It's just to the point where a person feels like there's no way out of this. The pain's so bad, I need to get out of the pain. It says the anxiety scores decreased in all groups. I mean, even it did in the placebo group a little bit. Okay. But the decrease in anxiety was so much greater. I'm looking at the change in the Hamilton Anxiety Rating Scale. And their total scores, oh my goodness, the ones that took the most ginkgo biloba, which is the 480 milligrams, they absolutely had the best test results. Here I'm reading the study. In the subjects with severe anxiety, only the high dose had a significant effect. You kind of get where I'm coming from here? So if they took 240 milligrams, it wasn't quite enough to exert the positive effect or the change on the person's brain. But if they took 480 milligrams, oh boy, that made all the difference in the world. So sometimes the dose or the quantity of a substance makes all the difference in the world. That might be a good point to make here. They say you got to keep in mind that even though this was very, very effective on dealing with anxiety, it was also a small group. There were only 107 people. And I know that a lot of times medical studies don't like this. They like it when they can say, let's look at 20,000 people. Well, fine. Who's going to fund it? You know, a drug company might could spend millions of dollars, but I seriously doubt somebody's going to put up millions of dollars to study ginkgo biloba. I mean, you have to understand when you're talking about a natural remedy, such as an herb, an herbal remedy or a plant remedy or a tree remedy like Ginkgo biloba, you can't patent it, which means you can't charge $70,000, you know, for a month's supply like some of the medicines cost. It's almost outrageous. You know, one thing I thought of about this, I know I'm kind of getting off on a sidetrack slightly. What do you think about the idea that a Ginkgo biloba tree can survive all the toxins of living in the inner city, all the pollution, going without water, people abusing the tree? Well, maybe there's some compounds or some phenols or polyphenol compounds that have active properties that actually help improve the health of your body. I mean, very simply, doesn't ginkgo always improve blood flow? Well, if you improve blood flow in a person, what do? You create the ability to transport more oxygen, more nutrition, so you can actually heal. That's what the cells need. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan. How are you?
I'm great. Your timing is excellent today. I'm giving you an A+.
All right, then. Well, actually, I appreciate the subject. You talked about the 480 milligrams of ginkgo being effective in dealing with anxiety. I'm going to have to find some. I was recently diagnosed with lung disease and
what type?
Fibrosis, and okay. I have, like, you know, some 50% lung capacity. It's been a challenge, to say the least. I went from rigorous exercise routine and eating lots of proteins to all of a sudden I can't breathe and I'm not eating anymore. I forget to eat. I get very overwhelmed with everything.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
So I think the ginkgo will help. Now, I went to the my GP the other day, and he said, "Oh boy, your thyroid is off. We need to medicate." Well, I don't want to put any garbage in my body, so I believe that my lack of eating has led to the thyroid issue, and I need to get that thyroid back up and running.
Okay, can I ask you a couple questions, please?
Sure.
Okay. I'm not expecting you to give me a play-by-play or great details, and that's not what I want, but just a general question.
Okay.
Would you say that you had some very severe stress in your life that preceded all of this?
Yes.
Okay. So here's what I'm getting at right here. I don't know how many people I've seen with lung problems that would never resolve, but maybe one of the core issues, and I'll try to flesh this out. There's a gland. There's actually two of them. They sit on top of the kidneys. A lady yesterday tried to explain how to pronounce it in Espanol, and she said glandula de adrenalina. I probably butchered that, but you know what I said? I'm trying to say the adrenal glands.
Right.
Okay. If the adrenal glands perceive that you're under threat, or it's fight or flight, or you feel uncomfortable, they may start pumping out massive amounts of cortisol. There is nothing that will literally destroy the thyroid like too much cortisol. Also, it keeps your body from healing the lungs when there's too much cortisol. What I'm saying is, I've seen tremendous changes in people when they started feeding and nourishing and taking care of the adrenal glands just so they could start to behave properly. Now, let me make one more comment. We have a system in the body that's very, very complicated. I am not going to pretend that I really understand all of it. Oh, bless you. But in the human body, we have what's called an immune system. And one of the jobs of the immune system is to remove any tissue or cells that's deficient in working properly. So if you have a defective lung cell, you really want your immune system to go up to it and remove it so it can be replaced. Because if you can remove the bad cell, then it can be replaced by a brand new, vibrant, radiant, healthy lung cell. Does that sort of make sense?
Yes, it does.
Well, that's the job of the immune system. And the whole reason I'm saying this is to, and you're going to kind of have to take my word for this. I mean, I want you to look it up and question everything I'm saying, but the immune system operates based on the efficiency of the adrenals. And so if the adrenals are overreactive, then your body may go more into attack mode. That's called autoimmunity. If the adrenal glands are way, way underactive, there may be a whole bunch of stuff that just doesn't heal in the body because the body doesn't have the strength to do it. So if you have a thyroid and lung issue, I would say what we may want to look at is the adrenal zone. What do we do to help bring them up to speed?
Okay.
I take some nutrients myself before I came to the radio station this morning. It's just what I do on Saturday morning. But one of them is called rhodiola and ginseng. And ginseng, for the forever and a day, has been known as an adaptogen. Adaptogens are any type of herbal remedies or natural remedies that help feed and nourish and strengthen the performance of the adrenal glands.
Rhodiola ginseng?
Yeah, that's what I took this morning. I think I took some ashwagandha also. I mean, I kind of experiment with all sorts of things, but ashwagandha, that's going to be a herbal remedy that comes from usually India. But it's, I mean, you can probably grow it in Texas. I think we can grow anything in Texas.
I tried that, Dr. Morgan. It made me crazy.
You mean crazier than you are right now? No, that's a joke.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, and I don't understand. Here's what I find frequently. I find that there's a lot of companies producing these things, but some of the products that they're producing are just totally adulterated, not even what they claim in there. I know that from just reading so many independent laboratory reports. Yeah. So there's got to be something that's not working right here, and we got to figure that out. So what do we do to help your lungs and your thyroid? And so is your stress over?
Well, I wish it was. You know, okay. This whole lung thing has got a whole new ball game going on.
You know, can I tell you a question that I asked a pulmonologist the other day?
Okay.
I'm not going to mention the guy's name, but he's very, very nice. He's a pulmonologist, and one day he was walking into a store. I won't tell you the store, but I was walking into my office, and I waved at him, and I think I caught him off the guard. He didn't know that that's where I was. But anyway, I went up and talked to him one day, and I said, "Hey, what do you do for this type of chronic lung disease?" He said, "Well, there's nothing you can do at all." I said, "Have you ever heard of a substance called nebulized glutathione?" He goes, "No, I don't know anything about it." He said, "What is it?" I said, "Well, glutathione is something that under normal, optimal circumstances, your body makes this to keep your lungs in great working order." And so I said, "Would you consider ever giving your patients that have this severe lung disease for which you say there's no treatment?" I didn't really say it that way. It sounds like I'm too technical, doesn't it? But I said, what would it hurt you if you tried giving nebulized glutathione to see if you could make some tremendous progress with these desperate lung patients that don't heal?" He goes, "I'm going to look into it." Now, I haven't done a follow-up with him to ask him to say, "Hey, what do you think about this?" But you know what I did do, though? I planted a seed.
Yes, you did. That's great.
Because I know him well enough to know that he deeply cares about his patients, and he wants them to heal. So I'm planting a seed with you also. It's called nebulized glutathione.
Yeah, I wrote it down already.
Oh, good job.
Yes, that and the rhodiola juicy and...
Well, and if you were here in front of me, what I would do is I would try to prioritize and say, okay, what's really at play here? Is this primarily a thyroid problem, or is this primarily a lung problem, or are those two issues secondary to malfunctioning adrenal glands? And maybe you got a chronic low-grade infection. That's like a pretty good way to wreck the immune system. Yeah. If I wanted to find one way to wreck a human being, especially a woman, I think a chronic, continual, low-grade Epstein-Barr virus would be a pretty good way of doing that. And so some women that I see, they may have like an overgrowth of candida. Yeah. So you're just trying to address how do we get the body stronger. So I would say this also. The adrenal glands, man, do they do well with B vitamins. Now, the B vitamins that I like, Yes, it's true. They're made of calf liver. I know that kind of grosses people out. I could probably make endless jokes about it. That doesn't do it looking good. But if you start feeding the body the nutrients it needs, then you give it a chance to heal. And usually with a lung issue, there is a pretty severe depletion of nutrients. But I like to use proto-morphogens that come from the lungs for these sort of things.
A proto-morphogen, I'm not sure what that is.
Well, they're called sometimes they call them PMGs for short. There's a nutrition company called Standard Process. They make a ton of them. They've been doing it since 1929. I don't know of many companies that have been making nutritional products for nearly 100 years.
Mm-hmm.
1929, that was after my mom and dad were born.
Yeah.
When were your parents born?
In the 30s.
In the 30s, okay. So they know all about the Great Depression, don't they?
Well, I imagine they do.
Do you think we're heading toward another one?
Probably.
Yeah, how about
that? Probably. I think we've been in denial for quite some time already.
Have you ever heard of the vagus nerve?
Yes.
If you were to go to YouTube and type in, how do I improve the tone of my vagal nerve or vagus nerve, that might be beneficial for you. And then you might go and look up Patrick McCowan, or I think McCowan is McKeown. I think he's an Irishman.
Okay.
Normally I don't trust Irishmen. I'm only joking. Of course I do. But he is a breathing expert at healing the lungs. So you might look at his videos.
Okay.
And then the next thing that you may want to look at is, you may want to consider some type of a glandular extracts. And so glandular extracts could be everything from adrenal to thyroid to lungs. So, for example, there's one supplement that I really like for the thyroid. The name of the supplement is Thytrophin PMG. That's another proto-morphogen glandular. But when you swallow that, something happens within the immune system where your immune system uses its energy to heal the thyroid instead of break it down. Are there any women in your family at all that have thyroid issues?
Yes, quite a few.
Any of them autoimmune, like Hashimoto's or Graves' disease?
Yes.
Okay, well, those are autoimmune, so that's the core of what we're doing. And actually, I would probably just venture a statement that the vast majority of all chronic problems are probably autoimmune in nature, so we got to get your immune system quiet where it's not attacking you.
Right. So, Thytrophin.
Yes, that's exactly.
Something I might find out on the show somewhere.
Maybe so, but even if you typed it into the computer, you'd come up with it real quick.
Okay.
And that would tell you where to procure it or where to buy it.
Okay, great.
So that would be one thing that you could do right there.
Okay. Well, it seems like I have quite a few things to do.
Yeah, you sure do.
That's great. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. I hope I've helped you today.
You certainly have. God bless your day.
Well, thank you. You're so sweet. I appreciate you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. There is a phone line once again open. Before I had that phone call, I was talking about the substance called ginkgo biloba. Comes from a tree. We'll go back to the phone lines. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Yes. Hi. Can you hear me okay?
I can.
Oh, great.
I can tell what your speed is. You're going 87 miles an hour down I-20. Is that correct?
Yes, 75 miles an hour, but you're close. I went to my doctor, and I'm anemic, mildly anemic, and I'm going to get off the phone here so you can talk to other people. But I read somewhere that taking baby aspirin can make you anemic.
Yeah, you'll lose blood every time you take it.
Okay. And then so I'm taking a supplement, iron plus vitamin C gummy.
I wouldn't do that if it were me.
Okay.
If you're anemic, I would just have you eat steak. Eat real food-based nutrition.
Okay. All right.
So does this mean, is there anything else you're taking besides baby aspirin?
Well, I've got a heart problem. I'm taking Cardavel, and Junumet for my blood sugar. You know, I have 2 diabetes, so I'm taking that.
Okay, well, then the steak might be a splendid idea for you because it has all the nutrients you need to overcome diabetes.
Okay. All right, great. Well, then, okay, right now I'm taking the supplement, but I will try to get some more direct steak in there then.
Okay, I'll talk about it a little bit further after you hang up, okay?
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. Have a safe trip on the road. Okay. Well, I only missed it by 2 miles an hour. Usually I can hear accurately and I can determine if they're going 95 or 94. I missed it this time. Of course, I'm joking. You know that. Vitamin C has been shown to play a huge role in helping to absorb and assimilate iron from the food that you're eating. The problem I have with supplements is the vast majority of all of them are made of just rusted forms of iron. That is not what a human being wants to do. You don't want to take, for example, if you look at a box of cereal at the grocery store and it says it's fortified or enriched, if you look at the parenthesis, what it will say is it contains what's called reduced iron. They don't really explain to you when you buy that and eat it that that's really just rusted iron filings. You have to remember, iron will rust and oxidize. So, yeah, it may help on some weird level, but at the expense of causing severe oxidation. You do not want to rust out. I was talking to a lady on the phone yesterday evening, and she was saying all the skin has turned brown on her lower legs. Well, she's rusting out. That means under her present circumstances, blood vessels are probably breaking and they're leaking iron. It's just getting stuck there and it's rusting. I know you've seen this before. If you go up to a large store and it's really cold outside, and that's not right now, but if it's really cold outside, what they'll do is they will walk into the store with shorts on, usually because they're a diabetic. They get real hot, and you'll see that the lower half of their leg looks like there's rust everywhere or they're red. Yeah, that's not a good sign. We want to take steps to correct all that. But if a person is anemic, I'm just going to tell you the foods that probably will give you the biggest bang for the buck. And I heard that you're taking heart medications, diabetes medication, and a blood thinner called baby aspirin. I need to look those other 2 drugs up and see if there's any correlation to causing iron loss or causing anemia. And that's easy to do. You just type in Janumet and iron or becoming anemic. You'll quickly pull up studies on it. I just don't have a laptop where I can do it here right now, but that should be easy to do. Historically, when somebody was really nutrient deficient and their blood was poor quality, what they would do is they would give them liver and onions. And I realize that's a very old school meal and maybe you don't want that. I get that. But liver and onions is one of the greatest blood builders of all time. And liver from a cow is usually 2 parts copper to 1 part iron, so it doesn't really present a problem. It's like perfectly balanced. It's amazing how that works, isn't it? God designed it perfectly for us. But this may be a situation where red meat might actually kind of save your bacon. I'm just joking. But it might actually improve you to the point where you get out of the anemia. So if you're losing blood because you're taking aspirin, and yes, every time you take an aspirin, you're going to lose blood. So this brings into question, how strong is would the stem cells deep in your bone marrow? How strong are they? Well, if you start to lose strength of your stem cells, that's when your body just can't keep up. Everything's going to go really well as long as you can make as many repairs as you can while you're losing blood. Maybe you can keep it at bay. But what if you lose blood at a faster rate than what your stem cells and your bone marrow can make the blood for you? I personally think that the blood is actually one of the most sophisticated systems in all the body. Any time that you can target improving the blood, you usually greatly improve the health of the human being. That includes anything that improves blood flow or blood delivery. Because that's the ticket for transporting all the nutrients and all the fuel, protein, fat, carbohydrates, vitamins, minerals, amino acids. I kind of said that in protein a while ago, sorry. All these things that have a benefit to the human cell. Well, your blood is your ocean of nutrients. That's one of the reasons why when a person is sick, you've got to convince them to get up and get moving. And when I say sick, maybe what I'm referring to is somebody that's chronically exhausted and depleted, and the only thing they want to do is drag their carcass from the bed to the bathroom to the couch where they spend their entire day. I know it is not fun. If all we did was do things that bring us pleasure, well, we would never eat right, we would never exercise, we would never take supplements, because those are, you know, effort and work, and that's maybe not pure pleasure. But you got to wrap your mind around, if you want to get well, you've got to get the blood flowing. You have to. You remember what it says in the book of Leviticus? The life is in what? It's in the blood. Yep, that's it. If you want to join me on the radio and ask me a question, there is a phone line officially open. The number is 903-586-6592. And it is officially wide open, so it's all yours. I'll push the button, get you right in. And so back to the ginkgo biloba just for a second. It says the results of the study that I started reading. No, don't call 5257. Dial 903-586-6592. Someone's trying to call line number one, and that's usually the number I give out, but it didn't work. So if you will just dial 903-586-6592, we'll have a go at it. Okay, they're saying that depending on the dose you take, the 480 milligrams of the ginkgo biloba extract, that what would happen is it had a very good anti-anxiety effect. You know another reason why I would talk about this? If you were to ask the average person that's going into one of these vaping stores, well, 95% of them, it's because of anxiety. They can't handle the way they feel. Good morning. Welcome to the program. Are you there?
Hello?
Yes, ma'am. Hi. How are you?
Well, I'm doing fine. I have a question. We all do. I'm sorry.
No, you're fine.
Anyway. I have this pain. It feels like it's in my hip joint, and I have been doing numerous things for it, trying to exercise too, but I wondered what you might share that I might do to help that a little bit.
When you say hip joint, do you mean when you reach around to where your back pocket is?
Yeah.
Or do you mean that ball and socket joint in the front of the hip?
It's kind of when I reach around.
Okay, so like if you had a wallet in your back pocket?
that doesn't make sense
for a woman, does it?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Can you pretend you're a man for a second and you got your wallet in your pocket? That's called that's called the sacroiliac joint.
Okay.
Hey, can I tell you a story from this week?
Yes.
A woman told me, And I'm just going to say some things. It's going to sound weird, but just let me just play along like it makes good logical sense. There is a gland that sits on top of the kidneys called the adrenal glands.
Okay.
They don't give a lot of symptoms, but one of the most famous ones they give off is that hip joint hurts nonstop when the adrenals aren't working right.
What?
Anyway, here's the story. A woman tells me that she takes ashwagandha. She's taken it before, but this time she says, I'm going to take a double dose, and I'm going to take it on an empty stomach. And she may have been taking it for some reason other than hip pain, but she said, you're not going to believe this. I said, what is it? She said, my hip and my knee totally stopped hurting. And I guess one of the points I'm going to make is, we always think that because there's pain in the body, that's got to mean it's just a joint problem. Well, it usually is probably, but sometimes it's not because of that. It's because one of the glands in the body that produces hormones like the adrenal glands is just not working right. So she tells me as soon as she takes it on empty stomach that her pain goes away and she feels fabulous. Well, I'm an easy sell because I believe people. Why would she like make up a story and tell me like that? Plus, if she did, I would get even with her. No, I'm just joking.
Right.
So if you have pain in the sacroiliac joint, the simplest test of all time is to see if you can keep your feet flat and go into a deep, full body weight squat all the way where your bottom's down on the back of your ankles. Can you do that?
Okay.
Or do you feel like you're going to fall over when you squat down on your ankles with your feet flat?
A little feeling like I'm going to go over, not, you know.
Now, have you been to anyone so they could examine the hip and see if they could determine where the problem's coming from?
I have had an X-ray, and I've been through therapy with it. I will tell you this. I play tennis, and I did fall on that side. But that's been several months ago, but it hasn't gone away.
Would you be willing to rub fresh lemon juice on the area of pain several times a day?
I've been doing that.
Okay.
I heard that, I think, last week on your program.
Did that do anything at all?
I can't say that it did.
Okay. Well, then it hasn't done anything for you at all. No, and I'm glad you tried.
Yeah.
All right. If you were in front of me, what I would do is I would just test you to find out where the pain's coming from. If it's actually coming from the joint, I would say that. I would say, ma'am, it's coming from the sacroiliac joint. Or is it coming from maybe a muscle in the hip that's not working right?
Okay.
But I think it's really good that you're doing stretches and you're doing exercises trying to restore proper function.
Yeah. I'm still able to play tennis, but that pain's always there.
Well, let me tell you this right here. Do you know what the website YouTube is?
Yes.
Okay. I know, I ask dumb questions sometimes. Well, how did we survive without the internet and smartphones?
I don't know. Sometimes I think we might be better off without it, but it is
actually
good.
What you're saying is probably 100% correct. We would be better off. Do you know how many children and adults are addicted to their phone?
Yes. My granddaughter is.
How old is she?
She's 10.
Oh, 10 years old? What's she doing with the cell phone? Anyway.
I know.
All right. If you were to go to YouTube and you typed in hip mobility exercises.
Okay.
I think the last one that I looked at was from a husband and wife. I think it was called Phase 6. I have no idea what that means.
Uh-huh.
But that's just maybe the name of their channel on YouTube, Phase 6. But if you typed in hip mobility exercises, she would do it. She does a very, very good job. I can't remember her name. Maybe it's Stephanie or Steph. I know the last name is Rose. But she demonstrates doing hip mobility exercises, and I've watched her demonstrate them on YouTube. And I tell you right now, I approve. She's really gifted.
Okay.
Another one that's really, really good, his name is Movement by David on YouTube. And they will demonstrate how to do the lady named Steph or Stephanie, she goes much slower, and she breaks it down, and she tells you how to do it, or she teaches you all the progression. So, like, if there's something that's really hard to do, she'll show you the much simpler variant to get started. But what you're doing is the whole key to pain in the body is you're trying to restore function.
Right.
So if you would just be willing to at least do that, you could start that right now.
Yes. Okay.
I mean, don't do it while I'm on the air. Wait till after the program.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And I'll try that ashwagandha too.
You got nothing to lose by trying it.
That's right. And thank you so much. I appreciate your program.
You're welcome. Thank you for your phone call. I hope you have a great weekend.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. And remember, no surfing the internet until I'm done talking. The number here, I'm joking about that. Okay. Okay, the number here at the station, there's a phone line open. 903-586-6592. Somebody's calling the other line. I can't answer that one. If you'll dial 586-6592. I can get you in. How about that for a deal? I don't know why somebody called line one. I only mentioned that for, what, 26 years? 27 years, anyway. All right, let me see. This other one. Okay, I have another article. I don't know if I can get to it if I take another phone call, or two or three or four. But I would sure be glad to help you if you want to ask me a question. And yes, I'm probably, you realize I have a bias. And I don't really have to explain that to you, but I'm so for things that help promote healing and repair. And especially if the substance that you, or whatever you're doing doesn't cause horrible side effects, or doesn't destroy your liver or burn a hole in your stomach. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Dr. Morgan, I would like to try several of those things that you mentioned for lung disease, but I can't even pronounce them, much less spell them. So will you go back and some of those supplements that you mentioned, would you mind saying them again and spelling them for me?
You mean the what I took from the first caller with the lung problems?
Yes.
Uh-huh. All right. So I wish I'd taken notes now. I didn't take any notes on that one. You just exposed my weakness. Okay.
Uh-oh.
They're called protomorphogens.
Okay. You're going to have to spell all of that.
Okay. Okay. Here's protomorphogen. P-R-O-T-O-M-O-R, as in Morgan, P-H. Mm-hmm. O-G-E-N-S, protomorphogens. And so what you can do is you can type in lung, L-U-N-G, protomorphogens.
Okay.
And the company called Standard Process makes a bunch of them.
Okay. Now, that's who I get other supplements from,
yeah.
Standard Process.
They have a whole line of protomorphogens just for the lung.
Okay.
Well, if I ask you just in a nutshell, what's the problem with your lungs? What would you tell me?
Well, they say I have COPD.
Okay.
And I'm a shallow breather, so I didn't have any idea that I had anything wrong with my lungs until they tested me and told me. And
well, that COPD that they claim that you have, that will completely disappear and go away. You won't have it anymore.
If I take these...
No. I'm not trying to be as simple as saying that, but okay, if you're a shallow breather... Uh-huh. What are you going to do to correct that? You're going to start doing deep breathing exercises.
Mm-hmm. I have one of those breather things that you...
throw it in the trash.
I think is... Oh.
No, I just...
I mean, that's how I measure if before I use my inhaler, I will...
How long have you been on an inhaler?
Let's see, I guess... Well... This particular inhaler, about 2 years, but another doctor had given me a.
We need to get your diaphragm.
4 years.
What you need more than anything else is you need your lungs and your diaphragm and all your muscles of your chest and your back to become stronger.
Okay.
Are you doing any exercises to become stronger?
Well, basically, I walk. Every once in a while, I'll use some. Like 2 to 3 pound little dumbbell things to do my arms, but that's really about it.
You might want to look on YouTube and type in Patrick McCowan. His last name is spelled M-C-K-E-O-W-N, and he has a channel called The Oxygen Advantage. He demonstrates all the tremendous exercises to really give strength to your lungs. And if your lungs become stronger, you probably won't even need an inhaler at all of any kind.
Oh, that would
and
be
you'll
wonderful.
You'll learn not to, you'll learn to breathe deeper when you choose to.
Okay, so it is breathing deeper, you said when I choose to. Does that mean like when I'm sitting down or standing up and consciously thinking
yes,
about it?
Yes, exactly. And okay. I was just saying when it comes to your mind, you say, okay, I'm going to do these exercises morning and evening, and here I go. I'm going to do them for 10 minutes. If you do them, you will improve the tone of your diaphragm. Your vagus nerve will become stronger. You will strengthen, increase the capacity of your lungs. I can't even tell you how many hundreds of people that I've seen that had a diagnosis of COPD, and they said, my life is over, I can no longer work, all to be cured in short order just by improving their breathing capacity. And cleaning up their diet, too. I mean, if somebody's drinking 12 Mountain Dews a day, that's just not likely they're going to get well.
Well, I've been listening to you now since I moved to Tyler, so about a year. And
welcome to Tyler. Where'd you move from?
Carthage.
Oh, that's way out there.
Well, before Carthage, I was in Houston for about 60 or so years.
Do you know what I think about humans? They give up way too easy. Not you. I'm talking about other people. I'm just thinking about people that I've seen before. If you tell them there's work involved, they run back to their car and they peel out of the parking lot fast. There's always work involved. And you know what the truth of the matter is? This is as good a point as any to explain. The only thing you should be doing for your lungs are the things that are the hardest to do. The easy things are not going to do anything. It's the hard ones that make you struggle. Now, that's what's going to make your lungs heal. I saw a woman yesterday that told me, I'm doing dead hangs. I said, excuse me? She said, it's so good for me. And she's, I shouldn't say her age, but anyway, she's actually hanging from a bar for 5 seconds at a time, and she's telling me how difficult it is. I'm going, that is amazing. Look at you. No wonder you're getting so much better.
Really?
So it's the hard exercises, the ones that are nearly impossible to do, that's what's going to completely transform your lungs.
Okay. Well, I've been doing a lot of other things. I'm walking 1 to 2 miles every day now, and I'm eating
good.
The cherries, and
good
I'm not
job.
Eating sugar, and
Good girl.
Trying to do all those things, so I will definitely put this in because I had one episode about a year or so ago where I could not. It felt like my breath would just come so far and stop, and I thought to myself, "Is this how it feels when I go to visit people in the hospital and they're."
Evidently it is.
Yeah, and so I thought, I don't want to experience that. I don't want to die that way.
Mm-hmm.
And so far, I don't wheeze, I don't cough, I don't have any of the outside symptoms, but yet I do know I don't breathe deep. And so
we're gonna fix that. You're doing everything else right. I'm so proud of you. Look at all the good things you're doing consistently.
I'm trying. I'm working hard at it. And that's why I was so interested in the spelling for these things, because I'm just lost when it comes to spelling. So I appreciate that. And I won't hold you so that somebody else can call. But
thank you for your phone call.
Your information today. Thank
You're
you.
You're sure welcome. You have a great day, ma'am. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. If you want to join me on the air, there's a phone line open. Let me give you the number. Actually, it's line number 2. 903-586-6592. If you dial that, that will get you right in, and I will answer your phone call. So, what have we learned so far today? Health is one of those things that you must do something. And when you do something that's good, what do you expect to hear? Well, it's a phrase that I want to hear one day. Well done. Well done. Can you have somebody say, well done, by doing nothing? No. What if you just believe in what I'm telling you, but you don't actually do it? Well, you're not going to hear the phrase, well done. Good morning. How are you today?
Great. Listen, I was late tuning in, but I heard where something about mobility for your hips.
Yes. You want me to repeat that?
Ashwagandha. Would you please spell that for me?
Ma'am, you are being so difficult. You're exposing my tremendous weakness at spelling herbal. Yeah, let me spell ashwagandha first. I'm going to have to do it. Okay. Let me have a go at ashwagandha.
Okay.
We're going to start off with an A. Okay. Ashwagandha.
Okay. And you get this at the health food store?
Yes, ma'am, you sure do. You're going to get what you pay for.
Is that for your back?
Well, what I said is, I told a story about a lady that called me, and she wanted to tell me her experience with back pain, or it actually back, hip, and knee pain.
Yeah.
And she said she took ashwagandha on an empty stomach, and the pain went away. And so my discussing with her was, I said, that's so fascinating. I said, did you know that, I'm going to say it a different way. I was taught a long time ago that if a patient comes to see you, this is probably back in the early 80s, that was way before your time, so you wouldn't be able to relate to me. But did I say something funny, ma'am? But back in the 80s, we were taught if you have a patient that has hip pain and it won't go away, you need to look at the adrenal glands and see if they're working properly. If the adrenal glands are just not up to speed, kind of like if you had a battery on your phone and the battery was at 7% charge, well, you probably wouldn't feel comfortable taking a trip to Dallas in case there was an emergency because your battery would be dead. How could you call for help? But if it was 100% charge, you'd say, hey, let's take off and go to Dallas. And so if the adrenals are the same way, what if the adrenals are only working at 7%? Well, one of the things they do is they cause the knees and the back and the hips to hurt when they're not working right. I know that's a whole different concept. Let me ask you a question. Would you want to go to a chiropractor that just adjusts you 50,000 times and charges $80 a visit and you still have the same pain you had when you walked in the door on the first day? Would you like that?
Oh, no.
No, 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 no. No, who would? Because you start to figure out, you know what, he did pop my back, and that feels good, and that's good. But what if it doesn't take care of the problem? That means it's not addressing the primary root cause. That's why I use the story the lady told me this week to say, sometimes your hip joint hurts because the adrenal glands aren't working right. And I'm just giving you one idea. I'm not trying to make it a panacea. You know that, don't you?
Sure.
So okay, I mentioned
ashwagandha will help the adrenal glands to work better.
Yep, that's it.
Huh.
And then I said, if you go to YouTube and type in hip mobility exercises, that would be good to put them to the test and see if they're easy or if they're extremely hard and nearly impossible to do. And if they're really hard to do, that means, oh boy, you got some work to do.
Mm-hmm.
Keep doing them until they become very easy.
We'll do it. Thank you, Doctor. I sure appreciate it.
You're sure welcome. Thank you so much for your phone call.
Bye-bye.
Have a good day. Bye. Okay, there is a phone line once again open. The number here is 903-586-6592. I'm waiting for a phone call. Okay. There's a lot of information to cover about health, but it's good that we can start to tackle some of these issues on what do we do to help the human body function better? How do we get the body to heal? I don't think you want to be in chronic pain. You don't. That tells us that the body is in disrepair. And so if this was just as simple as taking a prescription of Mobic or Celebrex or Vioxx, or you're taking Advil all day long, ibuprofen, aspirin, Tylenol 3, well, what if it was an herbal remedy? You could say, well, I'm taking white willow bark. That's a lot safer. Well, maybe. But what is driving this? What's at the root cause of the problem? Good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning.
Oh, good morning, ma'am. How are you? You are going to turn the radio off. Did you turn it off?
Good morning.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay.
Can you hold on for me a second? I can get back over here. I'm having, I don't know if it's a major problem, but I think it is. I've been going to the doctor. They sent me to a heart doctor. I've been lightheaded for a while. I had fallen back a few months ago, and I've fallen 2-3 times since then.
Oh, no.
And, now he sent me to a heart doctor, and my blood pressure doesn't behave much anymore. and I'm on two medications. And so the heart doctor now wants me to take an echogram.
Yeah, that's a test to measure heart function.
That, and then he wants me to do a stress thing, which they want to put this drug into my body to make my heart run faster to see if
they. So they don't want you. They don't want you walking on a treadmill. They want to just inject the drug to make your heart stressed.
Yeah, because okay. I have knee problems and stuff, and I guess that's probably why. But anyway, they want to put the drug in there, and I'm a little leery of that. I'm leery of any kind of medication.
You're a smart girl.
But I'm lightheaded even this morning when I wake up, and just seems like I just can't, you know, I'm not sure what I really need to do.
This morning, I didn't read it, but there's a term called VO2 max, and it talks about how much oxygen saturation you have in the blood.
Uh-huh.
Historically, chlorella increases VO2 max. You get more oxygen in the blood. If you have more oxygen, that'll probably make your lightheadedness to go away, which means you're just not getting enough blood and oxygen to your brain and to the rest of the body, probably the heart too.
Well, I feel that because it's like it hadn't gotten any better, let's put it that way.
Are they giving you nitroglycerin tablets?
They're not.
Okay, do you have any chest pain?
No, but on my left arm, sometimes it feels like it's out a joint, you know, and I go in and get it adjusted. But
and maybe part of that's your heart talking to you also, because that's what the heart does. It kind of refers symptoms to the left arm and down the left arm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
and so. My doctor sent me to the heart doctor to get checked. So mm-hmm. I'm a little leery about the test. So,
the echocardiogram, that's going to be the safest one you're going to do.
Right. That's what I figured. But the other ones I'm a little leery about.
Well, why don't you say, let's do the echo and see what the results are. So if it comes back, it says your ejection fraction is 80%, then you got the best heart of all time, but what if it comes back and you're in the 30s or 40s? That mm-hmm. means your heart's underperforming. And it may be that you have a couple of arteries in your coronary vessels. There might be a little bit reduced in blood flow.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's good to get that stuff checked out. Unfortunately, uh-huh. I'm kind of already out of time today. Could you please call me next week, and I'll be glad to help you.
Yeah. Well, they've got me set up to do these tests, so I'm a little leery the second test. So.
Well, why don't you go and have the first test done and just have the doctor explain it to you and then go from there?
Okay.
And maybe that'll kind of put your mind at ease, and he can tell you one way or the other if the heart's working right or not.
Okay.
But let me know what happens, please.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. I'm going to be rooting for you. Thank you, ma'am.
Sir.
And God bless you. Bye-bye.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.